Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, hello and welcome to the Carson Anderson Program. I'm Doug Karsh. That is Scott the Gator Anderson. How are you today, Scott?
I'm great.
That's good.
I'm great. It's always nice to start the day meeting one of your heroes again.
Yeah.
Love seeing Kirk Gibson.
Yeah. Good dude. Really, really good dude.
Yeah. And got some great things going on with his foundation. Mm-hmm. Opening up a brand new facility, I think on Northwestern Highway, if I'm not mistaken, for Parkinson's.
Yeah.
It's kind of a workout facility. And it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome what he's done post-career.
So, how was your night last night? Anything exciting?
I mean, Tigers, man. Tigers just keep putting it on other teams, and they do it early and often. It's a nice recipe when you're spotting a Cy Young Award winner four runs in the first two innings, and then you wait a couple more, and then you throw four more up on the board, and it's 8-0, and it's Tarek Skubal on the hill. I feel pretty confident they're going to win that game.
Yeah, look, he's bullying teams, and it's, you know, they didn't win his first two starts. You know, I came out of the Dodgers series, even though they lost all three. I said I was chesty about this team. They're my favorite 0-3 baseball team of all time. And since that time, they are 10-3 and playing outstanding baseball. And, you know, there's hesitation. Like if you're waiting for more evidence of what this team actually is, I get it. What's the number, though? What's the number? Does everybody just subscribe to the Sparky 40 game theory? Because there's a whole bunch of our audience that wasn't around when Sparky said that.
Yeah, I think it's just safe. It's quarter of the season. You feel pretty safe with that prediction. At 40 games, you're going to be close to the end of May, and you still won't have everybody back. So that's what's interesting, is that with this team, it still may not even be fair to judge them. And at 10-6, I like where they're at. I said yesterday, their pitching can keep them in any game, and they're getting timely hitting. It's amazing when you go back to the Dodgers series how ineffective they were with runners in scoring position. And yet, since that time, it feels like this team is clutch with runners in scoring position, and it's just their duty to go ahead and drive these guys in when they're ducks on the pond, and it's exactly what they've done. They've taken advantage of it, and you know, they're 10-3 since that opening series. Wildly impressive what they've done.
What about 50 games? Is 50 games more? I mean, even at 50 games, will people be like, okay, this is enough?
I would hope. I would imagine people are going to be on board with 40 anyway, but I mean, if you're not on board with 50, I guess I don't know.
What about 60?
What are you waiting for?
What about 60 games, Scott?
Why are people waiting? Why wait to 60? Why delay the gratification? Why not just enjoy things, man?
Well,
it's fun.
The reason I bring it up is because when you go back to last year when the Detroit Tigers bottomed out at 55-63, the Tigers finished the season going 31-13. Okay? 31-13. That means when you add in this year's 10-6, they are 41-19 in their last 60 games, okay? 41-19. Now, I know some people don't believe in carryover. I do believe in carryover because, well, for a variety of reasons, but you know, not everything carries over, and some teams have more carryover than others. This team is winning at a 683 clip in the last 60 games, going back to when they bottomed out last year. Last year, the Dodgers, the best team in baseball, had a winning percentage of 605. The Tigers right now winning at 683. I'm not so foolish as to think that they're going to win 111 games this year, okay? But you have to like where they could settle in here. It's one of the reasons why, you know, if you believed it last year, the end of the season, I've been saying this all season long, if you think it was a fluke, fine. And you want more, that's fine. I do not think it was a fluke. I think it was a very strategic use of players, understanding and leaning into that use of players and having it bleed over to the pitching staff, and then coming back and really adding three assets in your starting pitching from the end of last year to this year. The first asset was Jack Flaherty. The second asset was Jackson Jobe, and the third asset is Casey Mize. Now, I know Jobe and Mize pitched last year, but Jobe and Mize look like different. I mean, Jobe is just starting. I mean, he's just starting, and he might be getting better and better every time out. Casey Mize is a guy that could be finally stringing together health and being, you know, learning how to pitch and being able to take advantage of what he's got. I mean, it's health, strength, knowledge. It could be coming together for them. Look, we've been on this bandwagon early, and we're rolling it down Woodward.
Yeah.
And the biggest concern probably for me right now isn't it the bandwagon going off the tracks. It's getting one of the wagon wheels caught in the queue line tracks. That's it. That's the only thing that concerns me, which I guess would be a self-implosion. This team, I think, is going to be really entertaining all season long, people. And I, you know, the whole righty-lefty matchup thing, that they are abusive about it. They go over the top, and it works for them. And I guess it isn't always righty-lefty because they went against it a little bit last night. End of the day, Scott Anderson, A.J. Hinch knows how to use these players, and I feel like they're squeezing the most out of them. And they're not even 100% healthy. In fact, they're far from it.
Yeah, they are far from it. But the pitching has been healthy, and that's the big part of this team right now, is and what you would think can carry them quite a long way. And because it's gone back to a five-man rotation from a one-and-a-half-man rotation, it's exciting to see what they can do. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. They're the hottest team in baseball, along with the Mets. Best record in the American League, most wins. And this team is, you know, one of the things I've always looked at over the years, it's never really been terribly impressive with the Tigers, was the run differential. Mm-hmm. They're plus 23 right now. They've scored 23 more runs than they've given up so far in a season. You know, that's like a season-ending total that you see for playoff teams. Teams, wild card teams, it's usually somewhere, it's a plus territory for sure, but maybe plus 15 to plus 30. They're already at plus 23. I don't want to jinx this team, and I don't think we're jinxing this team by talking about them and them playing well, because this is who they are. You know, even if you were to God forbid, something happens again like last year with injuries, they were able to get through it. Hinch was able to figure it out. And I think that's a big difference that they've got with A.J. Hinch as a manager. He's been through everything. He's won. He's lost. He's played with good teams. He's played with bad teams. And he's managed good and bad teams. And going through the experience last year, I think, is so valuable for this team, because now they all know. It's not just leaning on what the manager's telling them. They've experienced it. So because they know that they can't give up on games or give up on at-bats or give up on whatever, because they see the other side of it. They made the playoffs last year. They won a playoff series, an improbable playoff series. And they're off to a fantastic start this year. And yeah, they still got some guys out, and there's still going to be some additions. It's not always going to be sunny.
No, they're gonna have their rough stretches, yeah, for sure.
But right now it looks like this team is, they're built to manage that right now. And okay, they ran into a buzzsaw to start the season.
Dude, they were -8, by the way, after that opening series.
So there you go. So they're plus 31 cents. They could have won a couple of those games,
mm-hmm,
right? But they didn't. Again, it's all learning experience. I like what this team, I like the build, the makeup of this team. Wish that they had a little bit more, but I still like what they have, because I think what they have now is, frankly, better than what they had last year.
All right, so Tiger fans, you know, look, this is early in the year, but man, we had such a strange season last year, got a taste of what it was like to have a good baseball team at the end of the year last year. And you know what's funny? They won the series. They took a 2-1 lead against Cleveland. In a lot of ways, what they did in the postseason kind of validated, not that they were a World Series contender necessarily, but hey, they didn't just, you know, get hot, make the playoffs, and get rolled. They got hot, made the playoffs, won a series, and came dangerously, tantalizingly close to playing for the American League championship. And this year, yeah, they're the first American League team to 10 wins. They were number one out of all the American League team rankings in the power rankings that came out yesterday. I mean, this is a team that is really, really giving you a lot to get excited about. But what excites you the most, Tiger fans? What excites you the most? 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. We've got open lines. Champ and Chump are posting on our website. We'll get to some Piston stuff a little bit later on. Some Lion stuff will kick around. Plenty to do here on a Tuesday on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, you trust CGC for top quality Connecticut water systems. Now trust them with your plumbing too. April showers bring flooded basements. Keep yours dry with a CGC water treatment and plumbing system. Right now, save 10% on a new Zoeller sump pump. Need backflow testing? CGC's got you covered. Call 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. Remember, if you're not filtering your water, you are the filter. Do not be the filter. Call your authorized independent Connecticut dealer today, 855-339-4242, or visit cgcwater.com. Tug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Tigers with a win in Milwaukee last night, 9-1. We'll get to some Piston stuff at 11 o'clock. But you've got a baseball team that is off to a 10-6 start. 10-3 in their last 13 games since opening the season, 0-3 against the Dodgers, which I said at the beginning are data points that I throw out because the Dodgers have a $400-something million payroll. And if the Dodgers are a problem, that means we are playing them in the World Series. So who really cares about getting swept by the Dodgers? They'll go ahead and take care of business now. I want them to win every game, beat all the American League teams that they play. What's important is what do you do against your peer group, the other teams in the American League and the other teams in the American League Central, and they are doing just fine. But, of course, interleague play again with this series against Milwaukee. But they took 2 of 3 from the Twins. They took, obviously, they swept the Chicago White Sox. Big series with the Royals coming up, too. And another team that's off to an awfully good start, the 14-3 San Diego Padres come to town next week. But what has excited you the most about this team? Like, what gets you fired up? What are you watching and going, well, this is the thing? And there's a lot. There's a lot here to choose from, but what is it for you that's really getting the juices flowing? 248-539-9797. We go to Chad. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Chad?
Hey there. Hey, guys. Hey. First-time caller, really.
Oh, thanks.
You know, it's been a great start this year. It seems like they've been in all but, like, 2 games, had a good opportunity to win. But there's not much mention of Javi Baez having a great start and really kind of producing and doing his job.
Well, it's a good start for him. I mean, he hasn't hit a ton of extra base hits. He's got no home runs, but he's hitting. I mean, he's hitting .289 on the year. I think, and he's also playing a very good third base when he's asked to play third base. I'd like to see that. And he's getting quality at bats. He drew another walk last night. That's 3 on the season, but it's 3 more than he had like 5 games ago. So it's nice to see Javi Baez contributing to this team.
It's good stuff. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
He's starting to become an asset, not such a blanking liability.
Yeah, though. If you look at his walk rates, quoting my father back in the day, asking me that question, when are you going to start being an asset and stop being such a blanking liability? Love you too, Dad.
Such a great comment.
It is a great line. And as I get older, I've started to understand it more and more. He had 12 walks last year. 12 walks.
That was it?
In 272 at-bats. This year he's got 38 at-bats and has 3 walks. He's trending. He's pacing to be better. The year before, in 510 at-bats, he had 24 walks.
Wow.
Yeah. So this could be a much, much more effective way to get on base via the walk. But that's just pitch selection, right? I mean, you're not walking when you're swinging at pitches out of the strike zone. You're walking when you're not swinging at pitches out of the strike zone.
But you know what?
By definition, Bayer, that is what leads to a walk.
Well done. But the last 2 years, what we saw constantly was chasing a sweeper out of the zone.
Unbelievable.
Constantly.
At a frustrating pace.
Yeah, like two strikes. You know, here comes a strikeout. Why? Because pitchers know what to do. They just throw a little bit further and further away from the strike zone, down and away, and he's going to chase it every single time. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been chasing this year. He struck out 9 times in a 38 at-bats so far. That's not an awful ratio for a guy who has struck out a ton over the last couple of years. It's vastly improved.
Now, there have been snapshots in time where he's looked, you know, like he could be a helpful player. Let's hope that this is not
a finished product.
No, but it's
a dozen games for Javi Baez.
One of the more telling at bats this year to me was a bat where he even got out, and it was against Andres Munoz, the pitcher for Seattle, who walked two. Tigers eventually got the bases loaded, and Baez was up with one out. I believe it was the end of that game. They lost in Seattle. They have the bases loaded. Baez is at the plate, and Munoz cannot throw his breaking pitch in the strike zone. And Baez is up. And I'm going, well, this is not a good formula for Javi Baez, because this is a pitcher who's not throwing his curveball or sweeper for strikes. And Baez swings and pitches outside the strike zone regularly. And he didn't strike out. He grounded out to third. It was actually fielder's choice. He hit a slow grounder to third, and they came home to get the out. But I mean, I was like, that's maybe a telling at bat, is that he didn't just easily strike out against a pitcher that was missing with his curveball. But that usually was a formula that would take Javi out. He'd take himself out.
Yeah, and surprisingly, last year, the one thing he did very well was hit with runners in scoring position. He couldn't hit in any other metric, but with runners in scoring position, he did. So this year, nice start with a batting average. He's drawn a few walks over the last 5 or 6 games. He's got the 3 walks. It's not a ton to write home about, but when it's Javi Baez and what you've seen is absolutely nothing for 2.5 years or whatever it was, you'll take it right here. And the defense is he's playing a solid third base.
248-539-9797. What excites you the most about this Tiger team? Another win last night. Feedback coming in. Unnamed texter, real Tiger fans believe in this team. Bandwagon fans need 50 games in order to believe.
Oh, stop.
I mean, look, the whole real fan, non-real fans have every right to feel however you want to feel. I'm telling you how I feel. Gator's telling you how he feels. And maybe to a degree convince you that this team is going to reward you. Like this... When you sit in these chairs and do these jobs, I look forward to having seasons that are fun from beginning to end. We just did it with the Lions. People got on board with the Pistons about halfway through. Nobody was on board with the Tigers until September. There was the 5-1 start, and that was cool, but quickly that faded, and then they were taken off the air. And last year, we got a baseball season jammed into the final month. This could be a full season, which could be fun.
Yeah. I mean, you asked the question about what's pleased you most with this team this year. For me, it's the 1-1 guys getting it done.
Yeah,
it's watching Spencer Torkelson, who was drafted first overall, come out and have a nice start to the year. Now he did what was he 0-for-4 last night? But he had the sacrifice fly, which was big, and he put the ball in play all 4 times that he got out. Just getting underneath some pitches that he's got his power stroke back and he's looking to do damage every single time. That's fun to see. And we've talked a lot about the start that Casey Mize has had. The first 2 starts he had were lights out great. And then ran a little bit of trouble on Sunday, but still pitched reasonably well, going almost to almost six full innings of baseball. Or was it almost 7 innings? He pulled him out in the 7th. So he was, he's improved as well. Having those guys contribute and be guys that look like they could be, you know, you hope that this is what they're expected to be, right? You draft the guy first overall.
I'm going to stop you. I'm going to make you pick one. Mize or Torque. Which excites you more?
It's Torkelson.
Okay.
Everyday player.
Yeah. So the thing about him is, and you mentioned the 0-for-4 last night, he's gone 0-for-3 previous times this year. And this is where I really zero in. What happens the next game? In the next games after his previous 0-for games, he's 5-for-10. So he has bounced back. He's 5-for-10 with a home run. And I'd have to count up the RBIs. But yeah, he's bounced back after Ofers, which, you know, in watching his previous career, you know, previous seasons, things could spiral out of control quickly. And there's no victory laps just yet.
Oh, no.
But it's a good sign. 248-539-9797. What excites you most about this team? It's Carson Anderson. Again, we'll get to some Piston stuff at 11:05. 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, all our female sports fans, Tuesdays are the day for you at your favorite Twin Peaks. Grab your friends and join them every Tuesday at Twin Peaks for Ladies Night. $4 Happy Dads, Twisted Teas, Mimosas, House Long Islands, Margaritas, and Sangria. $5 Lemon Drop Martinis, Green, White, Orange Tea Shots, 10-ounce Draft Ciders, 20% off all food, 20% off all food, half off all wine, and be sure to check out their awesome mimosa flights or buckets of bubbly. Sure to turn some heads. And do you know they offer catering? If you can't make it out to the from the office, let Twin Peaks come to you. Amazing party packs featuring pot roast, salmon, chicken fried chicken, perfect for any business luncheon. Or upgrade your tailgates with their chicken wings or tender packages. They even offer up smoked chicken or brisket in a taco bar. Call your favorite lodge and speak to a manager to order today or check them out on EZCater.com. That's EZCater.com. And remember, Twin Peaks is the best happy hour in town. Monday to Thursday from 3 to 6 and 10 to close. They got something for everyone. Come see the difference today. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. They managed to hold on and win 9-1. Tigers go to 10-6 in a year. Hell yeah. 248-539-9797. What excites you most about this team? What excites you most about this team? Jamie writes in, Scooble throwing 100-mile-per-hour gas while up 9-0 and screaming while coming off the mound. He's the perfect amount of psycho. Sign him to whatever he wants.
He got out of that jam.
Yep.
He's impressive to quite impressive.
Yes, he is. I mean, that's bullying major league hitters.
Yeah.
And I mean, I went back and watched a couple of pitches that made me go back and watch again. And I'm like, I don't know what you're supposed to do there. It's such a late movement and significant late movement.
It's funny how different pitchers have different reactions and different faces, if you will. Like, you look at Tarek Skubal, he's pretty intense, and obviously releasing that intensity after he gets that strikeout and yelling and all that was great. And then you look at Tyler Alexander last night. That guy just looks surly. He looks mean and aggravated all the time. Like,
I would be too.
Intimidated by it. Yeah,
no, if I got hit by play ball. And I got hit by back-to-back batters. I mean, that was unbelievable.
It really was.
Back to back batters hit him.
Come on, really? Yep. He's kind of sort of staring back at it. What are you looking at?
Yeah, for people missed it. A batted ball. I can't remember who the hitters were.
Yeah,
but it was back to back Tigers line drive right back at him and hit him twice. Certainly dealing with injuries, and it's okay to say Riley Green is struggling out of the gate, and we're still winning. I think this is a good team, but I think we're on pace. I think we're one piece away from being a great team. That's from Tom and Flat Rock. Okay, so I fully expect there to be some correction with McKinstry and Torque and some correction with Keith and Green, right? I mean, these are two guys that are probably overachieving and two guys that are probably underachieving. The idea that this team could add at the trade deadline is awfully attractive. And they just went through and attempted. Is it safe to say that the Bregman flirtation was the most aggressive move in the Scott Harris era? It would have been the most aggressive move in the Scott Harris era. That they were willing to make a massive financial commitment, and I don't want to give him points for trying, but it tells you that was a move that they were willing to make.
That was more than a try. That was more than just an effort.
Okay, but I guess what I'm getting at is those resources are still there to add at the trade deadline. Yeah. So this guy who says he thinks they're one piece away from being a great team, if there's no reason to believe they wouldn't want to add that one piece. They were trying to add one piece a month ago, a month and a half ago, or whatever it was when Bregman said no to Detroit and went to Boston instead. And I wasn't heartbroken by it. We've talked about this a lot. And, you know, they still, right, probably looking for a third baseman. But, the idea of adding another bat, I mean, where are they going to be with Vierling? Where are they going to be with Meadows? Are those guys going to be back? You know, are they, and what are they going to be? So trade deadline could be awfully interesting around here. Because they got aggressive right before the season started. Didn't work. Do they still have that aggression built up? Is it pent up now? And in fact, are they more motivated? Because the team, if they keep this up, clearly is asking to be rewarded by adding to the everyday lineup.
Yeah, and it's two different ways of doing it. I mean, adding somebody at the trade deadline is different than trying to sign a free agent. One is just money. The other one's resources. So do the Tigers have resources? Yeah, they've got a ton of prospects in the minors. The question is, do they want to give up one of those guys to get an all-star player? Because that's really what you're asking for. You're not asking for somebody who's decent and giving up one of your top prospects.
Next text. My favorite part of the Tigers team is the fact that they're able to still be this good, even with Riley Green and Colt Keith stinking. That's from an unnamed texter. What's exciting to me is the entire team is contributing. On Friday, the top half of the lineup went 0-for, but the bottom half stepped up. On Saturday, the top of the lineup carried the team and the bottom slumped. This is a true next man up, I got your back type of team. That's from Jeff. 248-539-9797. What is your favorite part? What excites you the most about this Tiger team? Coming off a win last night, dominant fashion. Kerry Carpenter hit a home run. Brewers kind of butchered the game in the field. But I mean, you can't say enough about how good Scuba was. Kenta Maeda couldn't close out the shutout and couldn't throw pitches in the strike zone. You put it on your show sheet, you use the term borrowed time. It might be. And, you know, the first thing I did today when I got into the office, hey, has Matt Manning made another appearance out of the bullpen? Because he was really good out of the pen for Toledo the other night when he was struggling as a starter. And maybe that repurposing of Matt Manning could be something that, don't forget about him.
Well, I mean,
it's obviously early.
But yeah. But
he has not, by the way, appeared out of the bullpen since that one start.
And yeah, the Miners don't play on Mondays. So we'll see if he gets a chance tonight. But it's back-to-back days for Maeda when he pitched and not good results either time. So he was the odd man out of the rotation and off to not a good start here. I wouldn't expect like an announcement coming imminently. It's just more than a hunch that, okay, they're going to have opportunities to move guys up and down from Toledo. And I would imagine that when they need, if somebody's deserving of it, they'll promote them. And Maeda might be the obvious one to be sent down.
Okay. You put something in your show sheet as well. Ever been to that newer stadium in Milwaukee? And my answer is yes. I went there once, probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. I don't even know how long it's been open. It's been open long enough. It was early and I liked it. Okay. I couldn't help but escape a feeling in it that is not going to sound complimentary, but it was fine. I felt like I was watching a baseball game in an airplane hangar, which doesn't sound complimentary, but I mean it. It was fine, but that was one of my takeaways is feels like there should be a Boeing sitting out there in the middle.
Because it has a retractable roof, right?
Yeah, and it was just kind of a weird vibe when you're in there. It's tall. Tall roof.
Tall?
Yeah, it's a tall roof.
Tall. Well, it's got to be tall.
Yeah. But anyway, but I liked it. You've never been there?
No, I haven't. And, you know, Milwaukee's like the forgotten city on any kind of road trip and really shouldn't be because Milwaukee has a ton of nightlife with all the bars around a downtown area. It's actually pretty great from what I've been told.
I've been there two times and I never really got it. I'm like,
did you try?
Oh, yeah. I swear that every bar we went into, all they served was brats. Which isn't really
all right. Well,
and like that's a Doug thing, right? I got it. I'm not blaming Milwaukee, but I just I didn't vibe with that city. You know, everybody that goes to Milwaukee says they, oh yeah, it's a great city. And I'm like, is it?
It's like 6 hours away. It's just north of Chicago by another hour or so, hour and a half, whatever
it
is.
It's really difficult to get people. If we're trying to sell people on Milwaukee, like if we're in the Milwaukee Tours Board and we're trying to recruit people from Michigan, hey, drive all the way through that great city of Chicago and keep going and you'll get to us.
Ah, Chicago.
I know, but most people will go.
No one just goes to Milwaukee.
I don't.
Unless you're like, it's a wedding or right, something. Right. You know what I mean?
Like, you don't plan a trip to, you know what I want to do? I want to go to Milwaukee this weekend.
No one says that.
And I'm like, why don't people say that? And I think the number one answer is because you have to go through Chicago to get there. And like, well, why would I go to Milwaukee when I can just stop at Chicago?
That's why we need that super bridge.
Oh, that's right.
to go across.
Super bridge. Yeah. We saw that mock-up on social media.
Well, then
let's just build a bridge.
Yeah. Michigan. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Make it a roundabout bridge so then you can decide to go to Chicago.
The picture that somebody so drew up there was a roundabout in the middle of Lake Michigan.
You want to go to Gary? You want to go to Chicago? You want to go to Milwaukee? Yeah.
Decide now. We're in the loop.
Yeah. Hey, if you put a Buc-ee's out there right in the middle of the lake.
And we don't need a backup, Doug. We don't need the backup.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
But yeah, it's out of the way. And then it's not like a city where like Chicago, New York, Boston, where like, hey, you want to go see the city. It's Milwaukee, right? I don't know. I'm not against Milwaukee.
I haven't been there in years. It's like my cousins grew up in Milwaukee. We used to go out there when I was a kid. But I mean, it's not like as a 10-year-old, we're not going to the bar. You know what I mean? We're in suburban Milwaukee. So I don't really know what it's. I know that you keep reading that stat about, hey, per capita, there's more bars per capita in Milwaukee than any other, you know, large city. And that sounds great. Let's check this out.
I need to have a more of an open mind about Milwaukee and give it another shot at some point.
Rieger was there for a couple of years, or at least a year. it was 1 year, I think, at least 1 year, and then he came back. Wonder if what he thought of it. Anyway, I don't know. It seems like. That does suck for Milwaukee. To get there, you got to go through Chicago.
Yep.
Hey, why don't we just stop here?
Right.
But we're going to Milwaukee. Yeah, no, but
we could get out of the car right now.
We're here and there's all this going on. Yeah, but we're going to go to Milwaukee. Did you just hear yourself say that? I did. Sorry. We're not going to go to Milwaukee.
248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback, talks, and Pistons at 11. 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, I've got some great news for you. I think we have finally officially moved on from winter, and that means there's more great news. The red, white, and blue trucks are everywhere. So call the expert technicians at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, and they're going to make sure that your HVAC and your plumbing are ready to take on the heat that's just around the corner. But don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating they have from the Better Business Bureau or some of the 5-star reviews on Google. Whether it's your furnace, your water heater, boiler, water filtration, AC, whatever it is, schedule an appointment online at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Doug Hirsch, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. Feedback coming in on the Tigers and Milwaukee. Play Carpenter every game. Stop playing him like he's a matchup player. He's too good.
Well, he did play last night.
Yep.
And he's gotten way more bats against lefties than I would have expected at this point.
It very well may happen. But I'm not sure that I'm like fully... When you play him every game, that means you're not playing someone. And... So, you know, what they're doing right now is working. I don't know if there's any demands that need to be made, but
yeah, he's hitting he's 3-for-15, so a 200 average against lefties so far this year. Mm-hmm. And he's hitting 297 against righties. But he's got two home runs in those 15 at bats against the lefties.
Yeah.
That's eye opening.
Yeah, it's good. It's a great thing to say he doesn't need to be a platoon player, but you know, when they have everybody healthy, are you not playing Vierling as much? Are you not playing Parker Meadows as much? Are you not playing Perez as much? You're not playing Zach McKinstry as much?
When you've got a healthy roster, you're afforded lots of luxuries.
Yep.
Like, okay, if Kerry Carpenter has done a decent job against lefties this year, like I mentioned, the 2 home runs and 15 at bats, but not all lefties are created equal
mm-hmm.
in terms of pitchers. They have different strengths, different weaknesses. I mean, you can mix and match. Okay, what does this pitcher do? What are his strengths? Where does he pound the zone compared to where it lines up with Kerry Carpenter's strengths as left-handed hitter? So sometimes it might make more sense to have him go against this lefty than that lefty instead of just going against every lefty.
248-539-9797. Tom in Dearborn, you are next. Hello, Tom.
How are we doing, guys?
Good. All right,
first, my son did go to Marquette, so I have spent more than a little bit of time in Milwaukee. The Harley Davidson stuff is a draw for a lot of people, and Summerfest is one of the best.
What is the Harley Davidson stuff?
Well, I mean, their headquarters, their original, factory, which is like a one shack little building, still sits on their property. You can tour their world headquarters and see a history of pretty much every bike they've made.
Gotcha.
And then of course there's all the touring of the Miller, find out why the High Life bottle is clear, and the only beer bottle that is clear. And, there's some interesting stuff, and it's a good time. I mean, the drive through Chicago is brutal. Most of the time I'd go north, stop in Green Bay and, check out Packer stuff, and just because I'm a sports fan. And although it's a little farther, the ride almost breaks down the same because driving through Chicago is brutal.
It can suck.
Yes, it does.
Yep.
It does. And, it's good. It's a good city. Got a lot going for it. And, definitely put it on the list to stop and try to, like I said, the Miller stuff is worth the trip. There's some interesting things to be had there.
Is Milwaukee just a thumb, you think?
I mean, the way you're selling it, Tom, it sounds, I'm just going to tell you how you come across a little bit. You sound like you're trying to convince yourself as well.
No, like I said, I was there a dozen times over the last few years and for different events and different things. And it's definitely, worthwhile. But, it's like you said, who from here would stop, go past Chicago to get to Milwaukee? Unless you live on the west side of the state and you take one of the ferries over and enjoy the ride across the water, there's different avenues of getting there. And, it's not, I enjoyed it.
You're my really time there. Tom,
it's fine.
It's
perfectly rated. It's okay.
Honestly, am I wrong? It was his delivery. His delivery was completely unconvincing.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't even sure.
Look, you even describing the stadium, you try to do it justice. So you don't mean this to sound like a slight, but it's like playing in an air.
It felt like I was sitting in an airplane hangar. Yeah.
And you still said it was fine.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. It was nice.
But it's that's the epitome of our discussion about the thumb.
That guy, just the way he delivered his, when you start sentences with, he kept doing that, right?
Yes.
He kept doing,
I mean, as I'm heading north to Green Bay to check out some Packer stuff, I'll stop in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Get a brat and a beer,
Yeah, the Board of Tourism in Wisconsin is not going to call him right now and go, dude,
no.
That was awesome.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, right. And I don't think any of us are anti-Milwaukee.
Not at all.
It's just, I don't think any of us are going to go out of our way to get to Milwaukee.
To go a little further. Now that you come to Chicago, are you willing to go a little further? It's like, it's the end of Shawshank.
For a city that doesn't have as much.
For a city that...
If Red had gone to Chicago and gone to that stone, it was like somewhere off of, Lakeshore Drive, and he turns over to stone and finds the note. Would you like, can you go a little further? And I think Red would say if he's in Chicago, no.
Yeah. I'm good.
I'm staying here.
Feedback here. My brother lives just outside of Milwaukee, and every summer we go there to catch a Brewers game. Brewers Stadium is a great place to go watch baseball. It's from an unnamed texter. The golf in Milwaukee area is pretty awesome, FYI. Summerfest Music Festival in Milwaukee, Nuff said. I had to think for a minute if I've ever been to Milwaukee. I have indeed been there. It was that forgettable. Next text, unnamed texter, grew up in Flint Metro, just moved back from Milwaukee last 5 years. F Chicago first. I could drive by fast enough. Now, Milwaukee has great architecture, above great food, all varieties, great sports city. Loves their two teams. The weather is nicer than Chicago. The people are better. The housing is reasonable. The lake access is better. That's all very sellable things. None of these texts started with, eh. Look, my struggles with Milwaukee are centered around that the two times I've been there, I swear I would go out and we'd go to a bar and we'd get some beers and then get a menu and everything was brats. And I'm like, okay, this is a Doug issue. This is not, I'm not blaming the city. I'm actually blaming where we went, I guess, but. And then, you know, I guess.
Do you like beer? Bar was a good time. Yeah. You were friends.
Yeah.
But you were hungry. And when you're hungry and all you got are brats to choose from.
I went to some bad places, too. Because it's not like I've been to places before where there was not much for me to order, but it was like, this is a great place. And I must have just gone to the wrong spot. Chip in Cleveland, you're next. Hi, Chip.
Hey, guys. Milwaukee's a great town. And, Doug, I think you just went to wrong places because there's they call it the Third Ward, and it's awesome. It's got the public market. There's a lot of beer places, restaurants. There's a lot of little microbreweries. There's a place called the Lakefront Brewery. The tour is fun. I mean, they serve you ample amount of beer on the tour, and it's a great town. People should enjoy it. It's better, in my opinion. Better than Chicago.
You're selling it way better than the previous guy.
We were in Chicago for business all week, and the whole plan was sales calls on Friday in Milwaukee to spend the weekend in Milwaukee. That's the way to do it.
Okay.
I mean, I just Googled downtown Milwaukee, and it's got some pictures that come up. And it, like the first picture that comes up is this beautiful rendering looking down on the city, and it's right on the water. You've got a river going through the one side and the lake on the other side. And, you know, it's not a massive downtown. It's kind of like Detroit,
exactly.
You know, in terms of the buildings and the architecture. There's some high-rise buildings. It's not concentrated like Chicago and New York, but there's enough of them where it's like, okay, it looks pretty cool. And, like, if you've got waterfront property, it looks you can do lots of things to make it entertaining.
And Bloody Marys. Bloody Marys are their specialty there, and they're awesome.
All right, good to know. I will say this about the state of Wisconsin. I will fight you if you don't like Madison. Madison's incredible. Madison is a quintessential Midwest. I mean, we've got a couple of them in our state. Big Ten campus, except it's got the two lakes. Madison is...
It's great.
It's fantastic.
Great time.
It's just fantastic. 248-539-9797. Regarding the Tigers, I know it's early, but maybe, just maybe, the hip surgery is what Javi Baez needed. That's from Roy in Pontiac. Yep. Brett from Downriver says, I'm most excited about the youthful exuberance and the little league aggression on the base pass. Do we have any concern over Riley Green's recent plate appearances? A little bit, but I would authentically categorize it as a little bit of concern. I think there's a long track record of his success, and I'm willing to bet that he will revert back to that at some point during the season. He's too talented. And when you're in the middle of it, it's like a hard sell. Like, people are like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure-ish. but you know, he's had a lot of success.
He's got a pretty good track record to show that, you know, he's a quality player. Now, I'm curious to see how he does bounce back, because it has been a slump to start the year. Mm-hmm. And I remember early on he hit those home runs and they were like, it looked like he's just swinging straight uppercut to get it to go out, and they would.
Yeah.
And it was exciting. Is he going to tame that a little bit, or is it just something else? Or is it just, hey, it's a slump. Players go through it. He'll be fine.
248-539-9797. Let's talk some Pistons. They're in the headlines for a couple of reasons. As they get set for this playoff game. Game one is the only one on the schedule so far. That is coming up on Saturday night in New York. That might be leading to some challenges for people here interested in buying tickets. But we'll get to that coming up right after the break at 11 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.